It's time for the KHNS Local News. I'm Amanda Randles. Coming up in the news, the COVID-19 pandemic has cost the ferry system tens of millions of dollars in revenue from lost ridership, and a breakdown of how COVID contact tracing works. Those stories are coming up. The COVID-19 pandemic has cost the Alaska Marine Highway System tens of millions in revenue from lost ridership. That's according to Rob Carpenter, the Department of Transportation's Deputy Commissioner, speaking Thursday at Southeast Conference.
We've had roughly a $45 million unrealized revenue impact since this all began. And that was, you know, right away we had to tie ships up. The unfortunate part was we were just getting ships back online from all the mechanical we had.
He's referring to the breakdown of several vessels last winter, including the Matanuska at the beginning of the year. It was the sole mainliner the state had running. Regional service resumed in March, but then came COVID-19.
Villages and communities locked down. They didn't want us to come. We couldn't come. We had to get our mitigation plans figured out. Anyway, we're running now and everything's going great, but we're still, ridership is significantly down and our revenue is significantly impacted for what we had based our budget off of. So that has led into our winter schedule, which is, I think, at a level no one is happy with, including us, but the service level, but that's what we can afford at this time.
A 9-person Marine Highway Work Group, created by Governor Dunleavy, is expected to release its recommendations for the fleet's future next week. The task force has already ruled out privatization or any scenario where the state gives away the fleet. Carpenter says DOT awaits its report.
We have a commitment to the Marine Highway System. We are by no means looking to get rid of it. We realize that it's an extension of the highway system in this state, and we fully support it. And we're looking forward to something we can cling on to that we can move forward and build off of.
His remarks came during the annual meeting of Southeast Conference, a regional civic and business forum held virtually this year. On September 15th, Haynesboro Emergency Operations Center released information on a new positive case of COVID-19 in the community, the first since the end of July, and the fifth resident case for the community, according to the State Department of Health. Since that new case was announced, Borough EOC Commander Carol Ann Wooten has fielded a lot of inquiries about contact tracing. Contact tracing is when the state public health nurse's office contacts people who have been in close contact with a person who tested positive, but they have specific guidelines for what qualifies as a close contact.
I think oftentimes what has been happening is that people who are tested positive are taking it upon themselves to notify their friends, which I think is correct, but because they're getting told by their friend, people are assuming that means they're a close contact, and that's not necessarily the case. Public health has a very narrow window of what they determine a close contact to be. A close contact must be within that person's presence within 6 feet for at least 15 minutes in order for that to be deemed by public health standards to be a close contact.
The confusing part, according to Wooten, is the time frame around when someone tests positive.
A contact has to have occurred 2 days prior to the positive test of a person without symptoms. That's an asymptomatic. And up to 10 days after the beginning of symptoms, if they develop. For a patient with symptoms, the contact has to have occurred within 2 days prior to the onset of the symptoms and up to 10 days after the beginning of the symptoms. And I think that's really important to note, because just because you have been contacted by someone who is your friend who is positive doesn't necessarily mean that you were in their presence in that very finite period of time, which is what public health is looking at.
However, Wooten says if someone has not been contacted by public health but believes they may be at risk anyway, it is always good to be cautious and isolate themselves for 14 days since the contact. For those who have recently traveled, Wooten says the advice from the borough remains the same: quarantine for 14 days or get a test. The borough EOC has vouchers to get free tests available from the Emergency Operations Center for anyone who needs to be tested. Wooten says when getting tested, it is good to remember how long it takes after exposure to build up what is known as viral load.
You have to be careful to note that there's a 7-day incubation for that virus to really show up in your system. And so the standard is 7 days. So if I get notified by my friend that they're positive today and I go in tomorrow to get tested, it's probably a little soon. It would be a lot better for you to wait that 7 days before you go and get tested, because they're looking for a viral load. So you want to get that maximum viral load so that your test is legitimate. Otherwise, you might get a negative, but in reality, you could have the virus and not know it.
Another issue that has been discussed throughout the community is the idea of people getting false positives on COVID tests, meaning a positive test without actually having the virus. While it is possible, even common, to test positive without having symptoms for the illness, Wooten says false positives on tests aren't likely.
What we are being told by public health and from the medical professionals is that the test for COVID is keyed on a very specific protein that's only in the coronavirus. And if it shows up on a positive test, there's no such thing. They're saying there's no such thing.
Wooten notes that information is changing all of the time, and even within hours of releasing information, the EOC could then receive new, conflicting information. It's an ever-evolving situation, and she appreciates the community's patience as time goes on. As for standard safety precautions for the community, Wooten says the advice hasn't changed. Wash your hands, wear a mask in public, and social distance.
You know, keep your group small. Know who you're hanging out with. Know where they've been. I think that's probably, honestly, as a person, on my personal level, that's one of the things I practice the most, is that social distancing and keeping myself, my social circle really small, so that I don't ever have to worry about, gosh, I don't know who I've been around. And so the biggest thing that I would say to the community, please, if public health reaches out to you and identifies you as a close contact, please follow their direction, because that right there is going to help contain this.
To learn more from the Haines Emergency Operations Center or to receive a voucher for COVID testing, email eoc@haines.ak.us. For more information on contact tracing protocols, contact the Alaska Public Health Nurse Office in Juneau. You can hear the interview with the Haines EOC Commander, Carol Ann Wooten, in its entirety, with more details on the pandemic and its direct management in Haines, by going to our website, khns.org, and clicking on the News tab. And that's it for now for the KHNS Local News. We had help today from Jacob Resnick in Juneau. Thank you for listening to KHNS. Have a great day.